Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. I am delighted that you have decided to join me today. I wanted to send a special thanks to everyone who has been giving me such positive feedback for the podcast, and a special shout out to my international listeners. I really appreciate you all for tuning in. I want to hear from you. Let me know who you are. Send me a DM on IG at Dr. Q Perry, or you can contact me by going to the show's website at www.amazingwithgrace.com and clicking on the Dr. Q's Couch tab. I'm excited to talk about our topic for today, which is a cure for comparison. This is a topic that comes up so much. It comes up in my professional life. It comes up in my personal life. And I know that if you're listening to this, this is something that you've struggled with as well. I have been fortunate enough to have treated a number of different conditions. Anything you can think of, I have pretty much treated. I wouldn't say that I specialized in it, but I have had so many different types of concerns that people present with in my office. And I had a really interesting observation about 3 years ago, and it's pretty comical the way that I thought of it, but it's actually true. As many different types of people that I've seen, I've never seen an animal in my office. I've never seen a tree in my office. I've never seen a flower in my office. And I got to thinking, why is it that we are the only part of God's creation that is not satisfied with how God made us? I've never seen a tiger upset because the tiger doesn't like his stripes. I've never seen a flower upset because it couldn't fly like a bird. So why do we do that? What is it about us that makes us want to do or be something else than what God has created us to do and to be? And I think at the core, obviously, the major difference is our free will and our mind. And I think the beauty in that is not that animals can't think, but we have an advanced level of capability in our thinking. And so we can dream, we can imagine ourselves in different situations, and we have the ability to think deeply about the past and the future. And I think sometimes this beautiful ability that God gave us is what can get us into trouble, because if we don't notice our thoughts and take control of our minds, we can start to have emotions that are very strongly attached to these thoughts. And so I want to start out by asking you to answer this simple question. What are those areas that cause you to compare? Is it parenting? Is it your body image? Is it finances, your spiritual life, education, relationship status, physical health, mental health, gifts and skills? Is it your skin complexion? Is your hair type, your car, your house, your personality? Is it sins? I know that's a pretty long list, but I know that it doesn't cover everything. So what are those areas that cause you to compare? And don't be hard on yourself if you notice that you are able to identify several areas in which you compare yourself to others. And sometimes it's not always about us comparing ourselves to other people. We can even compare ourselves to an ideal image of ourselves that either we have created or we think that others have about us. And that's how we start getting over into the realm of perfectionism. So today I wanted to actually talk about some causes of comparison, the consequences of comparison, and talk about a cure for comparison. So before we jump in deeper, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe, and share this with two people who might like to hear what we're talking about today. All right. One area that can cause comparison are our past experiences. So maybe it started out for you as something fun and innocent, like competing for grades, competing in sports, talent shows, and high school fun categories like best dress, best personality, most likely to succeed, etc. But those kinds of things, if we're not careful, they can quickly escalate to something that you can't control and it negatively impacts other parts of your life. Other times it can be your family circumstances. So maybe you didn't have much growing up and it taught you to value some things more in other people, like clothes, money, and education. And so maybe those are things that you value more and you think about more than others and you compare yourself to others. Family circumstances could also be one in which maybe your parents compared you to your siblings or to your cousins or to other people's kids. Those are the kinds of situations where the seed is planted for you to start comparing yourself. It could also be past relationships. So maybe someone in your past didn't accept you when you thought you weren't good enough. Maybe it was a friend group, or maybe you were trying to figure out why this person didn't select you and they decided to marry someone else. Any type of past rejection, it would be good for you to maybe review some of those major events in your life. It could be jobs. It could be a denial or acceptance for a school, a fraternity or sorority, an elite sport team or professional league, hanging out with the popular group. Any of these kinds of things can actually start a root or plant a seed for comparison. So past experiences is one cause of comparison. Another is faulty thinking. Now, I've talked about this more in another episode called Spiritual Thinking Traps. By far, that has been my most popular episode, so I strongly encourage you to listen to it, and I am actually planning to do a part two. But in that episode, I talked about this fallacy of fairness, and this is the idea that life should always be fair. And to a certain extent, that's right. We do want things to be fair. But when we start to look around and see other people being blessed, or we think that we know the story behind why someone has been blessed, then you can start to resent God and others because you think that life isn't fair. And I want to give us a reminder that God is just, not fair. And remember that what is fair is relative to us, but we're not God who has all the information. And the example that I used in that podcast episode was giving everyone in the room a certain amount of money. So let's say I give everyone in the room $20 for lunch, but what if you saw me give one person $100? On the surface, you would think that that's not fair, right? But would your thoughts change if you knew that the person I gave the $100 bill to actually needed more than just lunch for today? Maybe this person actually needed some gas and they needed to get some groceries. I've come to really, really enjoy the parable in Matthew chapter 20, where Jesus talks about a man who hired workers for his vineyard. He started early in the morning and the people he hired agreed to work for a certain wage, right, throughout the day. But this man goes out, and all throughout the day, the landowner was hiring people to work. So at the end of the day, the people who started working earlier in the day were upset because they saw the people who got hired at the end of the day getting the same amount of money. And they complained. But when we look at it very deeply, it's really a comparison thing. I'm going to read for you, starting in verses 13. This was the landowner's response when the people started grumbling. It says, "But he answered and said to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous?'" What I love about this parable is that it reminds me that it is God's business. It is His business to give blessings and gifts out as He sees fit. So when we get caught into looking at other people and thinking about what's fair and what's not fair, and when we start thinking that we have not been dealt a fair hand of cards, we have to be very careful about taking the mindset of God and applying it to us. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so the story that you tell about why someone has the better husband, why someone got this better job, we have to be very careful about that, because it only further perpetuates this cycle of making assumptions. And then it really has an impact on our mood. You're not able to focus on what it is that God asked you to do. And we'll talk more about that in a bit. So far, we've talked about faulty thinking, past experiences as causes of comparison. Another major area of comparison is lack of self-acceptance. There is a book that I read many years ago called Calm My Anxious Heart, and it's by Linda Dillo. And she had this analogy in there that I think was very beautiful. She calls it a teacup theology. And I will modify it just for the sake of our discussion today. But essentially, she talks about God making us in the image of these different types of teacups, right? So let's say maybe you're a large teacup. Let's say maybe I'm a small china teacup. Let's say maybe somebody else is actually made as a plastic tumbler, or somebody else is a porcelain coffee mug, or could be a wine glass or a steel water bottle. You might be red, I might be blue, I might have designs, you might be plain, I might have chips, you might have a large handle, whatever those things are. But I think when we get caught into comparison, we start looking around and we have not accepted the way that God made us. You might be looking at someone else, for example, who is a coffee mug that can really hold lots of hot beverages, and think to yourself that you are not as valuable because you can only maybe hold cold drinks. So that's a really small analogy, but I think it's powerful, because when we compare, we are telling God, I don't like how you made me, and I think you made a mistake. And not only do I not like how you made me, I don't like what you're pouring into me. And essentially, we're really telling God, I know what I need and should have better than you. So we really have to check ourselves in that. And I think that leads to my fourth major cause of comparison, is that your relationship ultimately with God is not where it needs to be. You don't think that God accepts you. And so you focus on your weaknesses, your failures, you focus on your sins, and you can maybe assume God loves other people more than you. When our relationship with God is not where it needs to be, we get disillusioned with God's provision. We're focusing more on what we think God has not provided instead of what He has provided. It sheds light on the fact that we really don't trust God, and we don't trust that He has good things in store specifically for you. You think that when you see other people being blessed, that God has forgotten about you. Let's now look at some consequences of comparison, because comparison definitely costs us. When I have compared myself, or when I have talked to people who have compared themselves, one of the first things that's immediately noticeable is an unstable mood. And I mean, it only makes sense because it's based on what others are doing or not doing, or it's based on what you're doing or not doing. And it can lead to envy and jealousy and resentment. You can start to doubt yourself and feel unworthy. When we compare, it can also lead to anger and resentment because you think that someone else is better than you. You think other people like others more than you. You think that God won't bless you because they took the last blessing. And so if I have that mindset, then that root of anger and resentment sets in and it can lead to malice. And that is a desire to do evil. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 in the NASB version says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." And so you might be thinking, but I'm a good person. I don't intentionally want to do anything to hurt anyone. I've never done anything to intentionally hurt someone. But have you ever secretly wished that someone lost their blessing? Have you ever secretly gone out of your way to sabotage someone else to make you feel better? Have you ever gloated when someone stumbled? Something to think about. Other consequences of comparison can also be feeling overwhelmed and burned out because you might be trying to do it all and keep up with someone else. That's not what God is asking you to do. So you don't have the grace for that. You can start to feel unworthy and feeling like you are not as valuable because of this or that, or feeling like you have to earn God's love and earn His grace and earn other people's grace and their love. When we start to compare, it also gets us away from our purpose and it blocks our closeness with God. You know, I'm always thinking about comparison and what it really signifies. I have to remind myself and the people God places in my life that when we compare, we end up running the wrong race. Have you ever gotten to the end of a race and been given somebody else's prize? No. And so when we compare, that's what we think will happen for us. We're running a race hoping that we will get somebody else's prize. And I don't know about you, but I want the prize that God has for me because it is specifically designed for me. Even if something looks good for someone else and I think I want it, it may not fit me. So when we compare, again, it gets us away from our purpose and it blocks our closeness with God. And it also blocks genuine connection with other people because you're not able to be genuinely happy for them. You're not able to really cheer them on when they are winning, so to speak, in an area. And you can start to be suspicious of them and think that they're competing with you. And it'll also be really hard for you to be vulnerable with other people. And one that is often overlooked with comparison is this spirit of pride. Because although it's not talked about as much, sometimes when we compare, we can do an evaluation in the opposite direction. And so instead of me comparing myself to someone else and feeling like they are better, sometimes I can compare myself and think that I am better. And when we do that, the consequences are gossip and slander. We're putting other people down. We can be condescending and sarcastic. And lastly, I'll say that comparison causes us to wear a mask. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, the NASB version says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." The Word of God asks us to put aside hypocrisy. And we don't have to impress other people. We don't have to try to be more than what God has made us in order to have value or to feel valuable. God says that we are His masterpiece. And so we have to walk in that, because otherwise we'll be walking around with this mask on that is heavy. We become a hypocrite, trying to be something and trying to prove to other people that we are something that we're not. So I have some good news for us. I do think that there is a cure for comparison. And by cure, I don't mean that this is a do it once and it'll never come back again. I don't mean it in that sense. I mean cure as in, I think These are some very sound steps that you can take to combat thoughts of comparison so that it does not become a spirit of comparison. Right? There's a difference between having a moment of comparison and walking in a spirit of comparison. Okay? So one of the first things I think we can do when these kinds of thoughts start to become strong is to truly grasp God's sovereignty. Understand that God has plans and that He provides for you specifically. If the Word tells us that God knew you before you were even in your mother's womb, then why wouldn't He be specific about knowing exactly what you needed to grow? He knows exactly the type of experiences that you need. We have to understand that His ways are not our ways. Remember when He asked Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" I think sometimes we have to check ourselves because we can get full of ourselves and we can pretty much throw a tantrum and wonder, like, God, what's up? What is going on? Like, why don't I have this thing? Why don't I have this person? And if we look at it in terms of like this garden theology, consider ourselves different types of flowers, right? We're all different types of flowers, different colors. We need different environments to grow. Some need lots of rain. Some need lots of sun. Some need pruning. Some need a particular type of soil. God knows just the right environment. And so we have to trust and truly grasp in His sovereignty. Another cure for comparison is to trust God and ask Him to help your unbelief. When we go to God and we're honest and we're able to tell Him, God, you know, I am really struggling with this area. Or I noticed that I had this sense of sadness today when my friend told me about her good news. I don't want to feel this way. Two scriptures that I stand on are found in Psalm chapter 37, verse 23. I especially love the New Living Translation because it says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." So when there are things in my life that I don't understand, I have to remember that even those small things, God can use to work together for my good. That He will use those things and that He already knows the things that you're going to experience. And He's still able to help you to do what only He has called you to do. He hasn't called us to be like someone else. He has not given us someone else's gifts. The other scripture is found in Psalm chapter 84, verse 11. And that is remembering that God won't withhold anything good from you. So whatever that thing is, whoever that person is that you want to be like and you don't have it, we have to remind ourselves that either it's not good for us either at all or not right now. A third cure for comparison is to be realistic. The reality is that nobody's better than you and neither are you better than anybody else. And nobody's perfect, and neither are you. We have to be careful about the story that we tell ourselves because we don't really know what other people had to do to get what they have. And we don't know the price that they had to pay for what they have. Are we willing to put in that work to get what we say we want? And we also don't know what they have to do to keep it. And so let's be realistic when we find ourselves in this mode of comparison. Another cure for comparison is asking yourself some tough questions. Get a pen and paper, and I want you to write down these questions because in your time of reflection and your time of prayer, I really want you to spend time answering these questions for yourself. If you're in therapy, these would be some great points of discussion as well. But the first question is, what experiences have I had that have led to unhealthy thoughts about myself and others? The second one is, how does what you want align with your purpose or God's plan for your life? And identifying this can help you keep things in check. Also ask yourself, what are my triggers for comparison? Are there certain conversations, certain people, certain TV shows, music, movies, places, church even? What are my triggers? Ask yourself, what do I think would be different about my life if I had what they had or if I didn't have it? Because usually the answer to that question is important, because otherwise the enemy has a way of deceiving you to thinking that, oh, my life would be so much better if I had blah, blah, blah. Oh, I would be so much happier if I were thinner like this woman. I would be so much happier if I was able to have a baby. I would have so much peace if I were to get married. Okay. Another question is, what do I like about the other person? And are there things that I can do to cultivate that in myself? So let's say maybe you are looking around at other people and you think that you don't dress as well as other people. Well, you may not be able to afford the types of clothes that they have. And maybe you can, but let's just say for this example, you can't. Are there other things that you can do to cultivate a sense of style and fashion with the items that you have? Are there YouTube videos? Are there posts on Pinterest that can help you put together your wardrobe in a way that fits your body type? Are there TV shows that you can watch that talk about fashion? Are there magazines and books that you can read? Are there different stylists that you can follow online? In other words, I'm saying instead of comparing, let's get inspired. So along those same lines, if you're asking yourself, what do I like about the other person? If you are a person who struggles with pride in comparison, you can ask yourself, what do I not like about that person? And how can I see them the way God sees them? And a final cure for comparison is to ask God for grace and gratitude. Ask Him to help you embrace your differences. Ask Him to help you to rejoice with and celebrate others. Ask Him to help you be mindful of your interpretation of other people's success and failures. We can't compare our page 4 with somebody else's page 10. And it doesn't have to be an all or nothing kind of mindset. God has more than enough to go around. So don't think that His blessing other people means that you've lost your opportunity. I'm hoping that the things that I've talked about today will help us ultimately see that the Word of God is our measuring stick, not what someone else is or isn't doing. And that is the key to curing comparison. Because when we are comparing ourselves, we're constantly looking at other people. But if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says in the New Living Translation, "Oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant." This is a very powerful scripture because, again, it's a reminder that the Word of God, that God's standards are our measuring stick. I'm not to compare myself and look at someone else's sin to feel better about myself. I'm not to look at someone else's gift to feel bad about myself. I'm not to look at someone else's education and feel better or worse about myself. I have to do what God specifically put me here on earth to do. And of course, if you've listened to many of my podcast episodes, you know that one of my life verses is found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. And it reads, "Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else." I want to end with this powerful poem that I found called The Thorn by Martha Snell Nicholson. It says, I stood a mendicant of God before his royal throne and begged him for one priceless gift which I could call my own. I took the gift from out his hand, but as I would depart, I cried, but Lord, this is a thorn and it has pierced my heart. This is a strange, a hurtful gift which thou hast given me. He said, my child, I give good gifts and gave my best to thee. I took it home, and though at first the cruel thorn hurt sore, as long years passed, I learned at last to love it more and more. I learned he never gives a thorn without this added grace. He takes the thorn to pin aside the veil which hides his face. That's such a beautiful poem, and when I found it, I thought it was very befitting for our topic, because the very thing that we don't like about ourselves, the very area of comparison, just might be the thorn that God uses to draw you closer to him. Okay, that is all that I have for today. Let us move into our time of prayer. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to connect on such a very personal topic. Comparison is something that we have all struggled with from time to time in various degrees or another. I'm praying that the encouragement, the education that I've given today goes forth and uproots any root of comparison. Help us to walk and run our own race so that we can get the prize that you have specifically designed to us. Help us to see ourselves in the way that you see us, and help us to rid ourselves of people who cause us to compare ourselves. Help us to rid ourselves from people who put us down and make us feel like we are less than. Help us to grow in your grace, and help us to be content with our season and be content. Help us to be content with the gifts and skills that you have given to us. And we pray all of these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. That is our episode for today. I will be sure to link the Spiritual Thinking Traps episode to our show notes. And until next time, take care.